be a part of his kingdom. And we don't deserve anything from the Lord, but God certainly has been exceedingly good to us. If you're just in the church, God's been exceedingly good to you. Some people think there's a bunch of fringe benefits they should be looking for, even. But what a privilege it is to be saved, washed in the blood of Calvary. Amen. Amen. Well, appreciate the opportunity to be here this evening, and I will do my best to follow the Lord, follow the Holy Ghost. Start out somewhere. I don't know where I'm going to go all the time. I think I do. But if you follow the Lord, you don't ever know where you're headed sometimes. Man, who would have thought you'd end up in Kansas, huh? But that, when you follow the Lord, when you follow Him, you got to go wherever He goes. I was teaching last night at home, and my folks think it's a week of the Word every Tuesday night. They think I preach it. Teach a week long. I tell them I'm always mindful of when it's 9 o'clock. It doesn't mean a whole lot, but I'm mindful of it. I said, you know, we get the wrong concept. We talk about walking with the Lord, but really we're followers. Jesus called his disciples to be followers. Follow me. Follow me. And he's got to be out front, and we've got to follow him wherever He takes us, and it's a wonderful trip. Some people aren't enjoying the journey because they're dragging their feet, and they're taking they call excursions. Excursion, when you go on a cruise, they have excursions, and you go off somewhere. Some people take excursions along the way, and they lose ground. But what a blessing it is to just follow the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Cowan, for inviting us to be here, and I'm glad my wife, we have a school, but it's closed down right now. We take a winter break. When you live in South Florida, summer break isn't all that great when it's 90, 95 degrees, but that 60 degree winter is wonderful. So we take a long winter break. On top of that, me and my son like to hunt, and so it helps keep him from missing too much school time, and my grandson's keeps him from having to play hooky too much, because there are priorities in life. Amen. I'll give honor to the worst, the pastor of this church, for what they've done for the kingdom of God. Amen. And I don't take it lightly. And it's not easy building a church. I always tell my church they need to go look at the picture how I look like when I graduated Bible school. And I told them, this is what you did to me. I was young, skinny, with a bunch of hair. And it was dark. A lot darker than it is now. I tell them, you did this to me. But this is a good way to grow old, working for the Lord. And so we give honor to Brother Sister Worth, Pastor Cal and his family, and to this church. And I'll try my best not to be too lengthy. If I see people start nodding off, I'll scream or something. But I do want to try to deliver what I feel each evening. And he said, if I want to teach, I could just teach. If I want to preach, I've walked to the pulpit thinking I just preached up a storm. And I said, that was good teaching. That was good teaching. I never hit that gear, I guess, that they call preaching. And so I may go a little slow, but I want us to open our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we'll just see where we go from here. But I felt to teach on this for a couple of weeks now. And so here's where we'll start. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. And we'll start at verse number 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. And let's look at verse 10. It said, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. He said there's a lot of different voices, and none of them are insignificant. All of them have a message, and all of them have an influence. Right. Amen. Can we pray? God help us. The open hearts, Jesus. Hungry hearts, God, for your word. God, to receive today from your true word, God, that's spoken from your holy Bible, God. Let every heart be open right now, God. Help us, God, to just surrender our will, our thoughts, our ideas to your word for a little while tonight. And let your word speak to us, oh God. I pray you anoint the hearer. And anoint me tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And I'll teach for a little while this evening about just so many voices. Amen. So many voices. School, we had to read some of the Greek mythology, and in one of the stories, it was about these creatures. They're actually they called them mysterious or seductive women, who lured sailors to the shores of their island with their enchanting music and their voices, causing them to shipwreck on the shores of their island. And in the mythology, Odysseus, he has his men tie him to the mast, and he has their ears plugged, and he has them sail by so that he could hear their voices but not be able to respond to them or to escape the ropes that had him bound as they sailed past the sirens. And it's just mythology, but there's a lot of different sounds and voices in our world today. Yeah. And I wish things were as easy as they were when I started 35 years ago. There's so much fewer things to deal with. And it was a lot easier to keep people guarded away from things, because it wasn't as easy as it is today just to find out what's going on everywhere in the world every second.
Right.
And there's a lot of voices in our world today. There's a lot of alluring voices that appeal to people. And most voices that are alluring is because they don't speak truth. We want things easier. We want things better. And people that don't ever tell you about bad things or hard times aren't telling you all the truth. And so there are a lot of seducing spirits in our world today. And I was raised in church, and I've been in the ministry 36, 7, 8 years, something like that. Forget after a little while. I've been pastoring for almost 36 years, and I've been around Pentecost. I've been around different types of Pentecost. I've been around Pentecost in a lot of different areas, and I like to be a student of what's going on. I like to watch what's going on. I was telling my folks, I don't want somebody to tell me what's going on. I want to read about what's going on. I want to look for myself and decide for myself what's really going on. But there are a lot of seducing spirits in our world today that are drawing apostolics away from the old paths.
Yes, sir.
And from established truths. A lot of changes have taken place in my lifetime. I've gotten to the point, honestly, probably for the past 10, 15 years, I'm not even shocked anymore when I see things and hear things, because I've seen so much. I haven't got cynical, and I haven't lost my faith. It's just made me more determined to be careful and to hold on to the things that God has put in my heart. We are seeing a shaking in the church. The Bible tells that everything that can be shaken will be shaken.
Right.
And the only things you're going to stand are the things that stand on truth. And so there's a lot going on. And Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. He said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils."
Yeah.
Doctrines of the devil has doctrines. And his most effective doctrines are very similar to our doctrines, to truth. And that's what allows people to be deceived, because it doesn't seem like it's that different. It seems like it's the same thing. I had a young man, he was actually from Kansas, was down in Miami for a while, ended up moving down there. He didn't go to my church. He ended up going to another church that he knew better than to go to. And they visited our service one time, and it wasn't a good experience. And he called me up trying to tell me that we needed to fellowship them. And he said, we're just like you are. I said, "Danny, no, you're not. You know you're not. You know better. You know better than that. Don't tell me you're the same thing we are, because you're not even what you used to be." Deception. Seducing spirits. Amen. There's nothing seductive about truth. You have to love truth. Amen. You stay in truth because you love truth. And so the times we are living in, and the rest of the time we're on this earth, it just demands a lot of caution on behalf of the saints of God and on the ministry. I've changed my feelings about some things, and I've restricted our people on where they access things and what they listen to, and I don't want them to just listen to anything.
Hear it.
I don't want them to listen to people they don't really know.
Yo.
We had a lady, she visited for a while, and there's a man named Gino Jennings. He's apparently quite a superstar in whatever religion he is, and she'd been listening to him, came to our church, and she asked me something about him. I read up on him. I said, "Well, he's a radical. He's a radical." They wrote their kind of their own Bible for their church. And she got mad. She didn't come for a while. Then she came back. She started trying to sow discord.
Uh-oh.
between the ladies in the church that were teaching her Bible studies and bringing her to church. And I finally had to just tell them, you know what, just leave her alone. Leave her alone. We got to be careful. She's been feeding on some things that have put a spirit in her. And I found out she's, not only does she listen to Geno Jennings, but she's got a cocaine problem and a marijuana problem. And I believe in deliverance, but when you start sowing discord in the church, I don't have a lot of patience for you. Amen. The apostles actually were patient with sin, but they weren't patient with false doctrine.
All right.
When you read the epistles, they weren't very patient with people that brought false doctrine. And so this is not a time for the church or a pastor or saints of God to be careless or to take risk. I'm just not interested in testing the waters. I don't have to test the waters. I can look at them. And so those aren't the kind of waters I want to be in. In Ephesians 5 and 15, the Apostle Paul said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time." He said, "But as wives, redeem, for the days are evil." The days are evil. You know, if he could feel that way back then.
Come on, yeah.
How much the more should we understand the days are evil?
Yeah.
The days are evil. And so he said, you need to walk circumspect. That literally meant exactly or accurately or diligently. You don't just wander your way in this Christian walk.
Come on, yeah.
He said, you got to walk circumspectly. You need to think about where you're headed.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Amen. Who are you walking with? What direction are you going? Amen. I say, when you're following the will of God, it's not a straight line. God has a way of moving us around because he's working on us. Before God will reveal his will to you, he's going to find out if you really want his will.
Uh-huh.
And he'll test you and find out. And so he said, you got to walk circumspectly, not as, be careful. Be careful. The Latin says it this way, to look around about on all hands. It's very similar to the terminology that's used when Jesus went to the temple, and it said he looked round about on all things, that he really took a careful look, and he took it all in and recognized what was going on around him and in his house. And he left and thought about it.
All right.
He didn't have to think about it very long. And he came back with a whip. And an innocent fig tree just got in the way. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and God cursed him. There was something inside of him because he observed what was going on. You know, some people are very observant. They walk in a room and they take it all in. They see what's going on. It really takes some training or some focus to do that. And I tell my folks all the time, my wife's sitting behind me playing the organ. I said, I can't tell you what she's wearing right now. We walked out of the house together. We rode to church together. But I didn't pay one bit of attention. Because all I'm thinking about is I got to preach or I got to teach.
Yeah.
I'm focused. And I said, so I'm not. Now, if somebody walked into the door of the church and something didn't look right, I'd pick up on that. But I said, I don't have a clue what she's wearing back there behind me. But Paul said, you've got to take everything in. You got to think about what you're seeing.
Amen.
Think about what you're seeing. Don't brush it off. Don't just accept it. Think about what you're seeing. Walk circumspectly. Know what's going on around you. Be careful with every step that you take. One writer said it meant to discern the enemies before they come too nigh. Don't let the devil get in your backyard or on your porch before you realize he's coming to your house.
All right.
Amen. Be watchful. Be wary. Be careful to avoid the danger. Walk circumspectly. We got to really be careful if we're going to live for God.
Yes.
The days are evil. The days are evil. Now, Paul told the church in Ephesus that it was a time full of peril, not just in general, but of peril to the Christian faith. Instead, he was warning them. You're in danger just because of the world you live in. You're in peril every day of your life. The Apostle Peter told us to be sober, to be vigilant. Your adversary is a roaring lion walking about seeking. He's not taking a day off. He's not getting, you got to give the devil some credit. He doesn't get discouraged. He doesn't give up. He doesn't quit. He just keeps pounding on you, pounding on you, pounding, and you slip by and keep on going, but he's chasing you down.
Sure.
And so the apostle said, we're living in dangerous times as Christians. And we've got to be careful how we live this life.
Amen.
The days are evil. They're filled with things that will destroy and corrupt and mislead us if we're not circumspect. If we don't think about things before we accept them. Well, you see, the more you make it a habit to inspect things, the easier it is to recognize things. The easier it is to realize what it is. You've seen that before.
Sure.
You know, you've heard the old saying, same old gal, just a different dress. And so we know that gal. They may dress her up different, but we already know what she is. And sometimes folks think because she changed her dress, she's okay.
Well, yeah.
It's the same old devil.
Yeah.
He may come. The Bible says he'll come as an angel of light.
Yes.
He'll make you think he's on your side, but we know he's still the same old devil. And I tell my folks, if you could ever figure this out, it's just so simple. He's a liar. And if you could just remember that every time he talks, you remember, he's a liar, he's a liar. Can't believe anything he says. I can't trust anything he says. And so we're living in evil days, evil days. And so he said, you just can't accept everything that comes along. You can't just trust everything that comes along.
Yeah.
I'm not a chicken, but I don't just open my door and leave my gates open. And you know, I got people that come visit me from other places, and they wonder why I live way out in the country, and I have a gate that closes, and I lock my car, and I lock my house, because the days are evil.
Yes.
The days are evil.
Yes, sir.
And but I want to be careful. I'll be careful. I tell my wife we have. He's been to our house. We have where our bedrooms are. We have a door we can lock to get into the hallway. And I lock it every night. And I lock my bed. Mom said, why do you do all that? Because I want plenty of time to get my little friend ready.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I want to be ready to welcome them. And every little second counts.
Yes, it does.
And so it's not about being afraid. It's about being wise. Walk circumspectly. Use some wisdom. Not as fools, but as wise.
Amen.
As wise. Amen. Now look, we're going to look at this teaching of the Apostle Paul this evening to the church in Corinth. Now, I'm not going to try to explain everything in there. We don't have that long this week. But he's teaching about a few things. He's teaching about worship. Now, all the things he's teaching about is because they had problems. Problems. And I remind my church, we get excited about, we want to have an Acts revival, Book of Acts revival. I said, just remember that Book of Acts revival create all the problems that are dealt with in the epistles. There's a balance to all this. It wasn't just great days for the apostles. Yeah, they're praying folks through, but they were devils and they were having problems to deal with. And so that revival created the epistles to deal with all the people that prayed through and brought all this baggage into the church. And they brought with them their worship wherever they came from, whether they're Jews or pagans or idolaters. They brought what they knew. Could you imagine all of a sudden 200 people prayed through tonight? And some of them were junkies, and some of them were Catholics, and some of them were Jewish, and some of them were Hare Krishnas. And so they don't know any better than to do what that's how they worship. And so there was a conglomeration of things going on that the apostle had to deal with. And so he taught about worship. He taught about order in the church. You don't just come to church and do whatever you want whenever you feel like
come
it.
Now.
Let everything be done decently in an order. God's not the author of confusion, but of peace is in all the churches of the saints. God's folks have peace in the house of God. When it's time to worship, we're going to give it everything we've got. But when it's time to quit, he said, you need to shut up and sit down. Now, that's a new modern translation. He dealt with the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. They had no idea what they were doing.
Yeah.
They had no idea.
No idea.
They were doing their best, and it was a mess. Yeah. And so he was dealing with the operation or the false operation that gives the Spirit, trying to explain to them what was right and to set everything. Or he taught about the authority of the church. Now, when he taught about, you know, come with the tongue of this, and then he said, if anything revealed be revealed to another that sitteth by. Now, the term sitteth by means to sit in a place of authority.
Right.
It didn't just mean the next person over on the next pew. It meant when the person in authority in the church steps up and says, it's enough. That's enough. I remember when I was in Jackson, Brother Kraft, some lady got up and started testifying. He just said he did some crazy stuff. We don't have open testimony service because I've seen enough of it. She stood up and started testifying. Brother Kraft said, oh, shut up and sit down. You don't know beans. And that's kind of what the Apostle Paul was saying. There's got to be authority in the church.
Right.
And he set in order the role of the ministry in governing the church and keeping order in the church. One of my men was telling me, I guess at some church, I think it was Baptist, whatever, a guy came with a gun and got in the pulpit. He was waving the gun around and finally the pastor tackled him and they're like, that wouldn't happen here. Yeah, he'd have died in the aisle somewhere. Number one, he wouldn't have gotten the front locked door. If he started walking down the aisle of the pulpit, he'd have had some friends helping him walk back the other way. And so there's got to be order in the church. Order. We live in crazy times.
Crazy times.
Yeah. Our church is in a decent area, but we had a man murdered right out in front of the church. It was a drug deal, and they beat him up and were going to kill him, and he dove out of the back of the van right up front of their church. They just turned around and shot him right on the street and drove away. And so the days are evil.
Yes, they are.
Days are evil. They came in and tried to steal my truck one time. They found out you don't steal from our church. They just tried. The days are evil.
Yeah.
And so we've got to have somebody that's, the Bible teaches, is the watchman on the wall. He has an advantageous position to see, to have a perspective that nobody else is going to have. And they were taught the Bible to trust the man in the tower. Trust the man in the tower. It may look, you don't hear anything, you don't see anything, but trust the man in the tower. He said, we've got to have order, we've got to have authority in the church. And so the church, and I'm not doing good tonight. I'm going to be here a long time. I did wear a watch. It didn't mean anything, but I do have a watch on. The church in Corinth was out of balance. I'll explain. I don't want to be offensive, but it would be comparable to what a lot of the charismatic churches are today.
Yeah.
There's a church in our town. They still do it, but they used to have open mic. And just whoever walked up there and prophesied, they had a word from the Lord and one from Bubba. It was just a mess.
Yeah.
And that's really what Corinth was. As my grandfather would say, it was just a bunch of ignorance. And in their zeal and the desire for spiritual things, they had neglected some practical things. You hear me? The things of God just make sense.
Common sense.
The things of God, when you look at them, it just makes sense. It's reasonable. It's reasonable. It's logical. It's not way out there. It's not fruity, flaky, weird. It's just right. There's a feel to the things of God that people that don't even understand it realize they've come to a different kind of place. This isn't like other places I've been. Because there's order. They were out of balance. They wanted to be spiritual. In fact, I think somebody preached about it, but they competitive spirituality. They were outdoing one. Everybody had something to say. Except the preacher. They didn't give him much chance. And so the Apostle Paul was bringing them back into balance. And they had laid aside some important principles in their desire for the manifestation and their pursuit of the manifestation of spiritual things. Some people want a move of God so bad they'll do crazy stuff.
Right.
And what they get is not a move of God.
Come on.
You want a move of God, you just stay in the old paths. You just keep preaching the word. You just keep teaching the word.
Yes.
You just keep doing what's right. We don't need Balaam's donkey to show up and show us how to have church.
Right.
And so they just had become undisciplined and disorderly. And a lot of it was just because they didn't know any better.
Amen.
And hence the writing of the epistles. Now, we don't have an excuse.
Sure.
But it's in the Bible. If you read it and you take a little time, as your pastor said, to read it slowly, it makes sense. It makes sense. I've talked with people about, you know, this, if anything revealed to another, says by, I said, no, it can't just be any old Joe.
Right.
Read your Bible.
Yeah.
Read your Bible. It tells that Lot sat at the gate. Paul was an Old Testament scholar. And so he pulled terminology from his Old Testament teaching as he wrote the New Testament. The Bible tells Lot sat at the gate. He had a place of authority, of judgment. In the first Psalm, when it talks about sitting in the seat of the scornful, it started about sitting in a place of judgment. And so Paul said, if there's one that's, there's somebody that's got authority in the church.
Amen.
There's somebody that's got authority to say, hey, you know what? This ain't right.
Yeah.
This isn't right. We're going to stop this. And they shouldn't have to, you know, I don't scream at my folks. I don't have any reason to scream at them. Just tell them how it is. Just tell them how it is. We're not going to have that. Not you want to do that? Go someplace else.
Sure.
Not that I'm trying to run people off, but I'm not going to let them corrupt the church.
Right.
You got to decide what you want. I said, you can have that flavor anywhere else, but not here. And so they had to have some teaching in there. Their services just became a chaotic clamor of noise, and this one's prophesying, and this one's talking in tongues, and this one's interpreting, and you know somebody's got a psalm, and somebody's got a hymn. You know, I told my folks, listen, if I tell you I want you to sing, don't get up there and testify. If I tell you I want you to testify, don't stand up and sing. That's not what I ask you to do. Do what you're told to do, not what you feel like doing. Well, I don't think that's fair. I didn't ask you if you thought it was fair. I'm just telling you how it is. If I want you to testify, I'll tell you. And, you know, there's not a lot of folks in my church got to worry about getting asked to sing. So, but what it turned in Corinth is everybody trying to out-spiritualize one. They're trying to be more spiritual than the next person. And, it just took them further and further away from God and true worship and took them to mass confusion, just chaos, clamor, and shouting. Now, we know when we have church, it can get loud and it can get noisy. But when it's time to worship, have at it, man.
Yeah,
it's your time. But when I say I'm going to preach, I want you to sit down and listen.
Sure.
Sit down and listen. And some folks like to get with the preaching, and some folks just like to blabber so they don't have to listen. We got to have order, he said.
Yes.
And so I say most, but I don't know if anything happened in Corinth was of God. It was so confused. I'll just say, the majority of it was not of God. And Paul had to shut it down. He said, God's not the author of confusion. You're over here singing, and they're over here prophesying. This one's over here talking in tongues. And that's what we call it. Now they call it a worship service. When I was growing up, we called it a song service.
Yes.
Song service. But we decided we want people to worship too and not just sing, so we called it a worship service. But that's the time to sing. That's the time to clap your hands. That's the time to run the aisles.
Right.
Yes, sir.
It's your opportunity to express yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't remember who it was. They were preaching away. And somebody jumped up, started prophesying. He said, you just shut up, sit down. God's talking from me right now. You don't interrupt the preaching. I hate to say it, but a lot of times that's just trying to usurp and say, I know more than the man in the pulpit does, right? I just connected with God.
Right.
Oh, God. He can fix everything when I'm gone. But I'm just tired. I've been around a long time.
Yes, sir.
And we've got to get this concept that when a man is preaching, he is the voice of God. God's talking to us. It's anointed. In fact, Paul said it's the understood word is a lot more important than the tongue.
Sure.
They need to understand what we're saying. And so he was trying to bring everything back to where it needed to be. God's not all the confusion. And God, now, God wasn't looking to heaven and think, well, I'm just going to jump in the middle of that fray down there and see what I can. No. God's not jumping in to your chaos and to your confusion. He can't operate in a spirit of confusion, because then it would be questions and confusion in people's minds. I was preaching somewhere a number of years ago. This is where I met Brother Savala. We referred to his camp surprise now. Because the first night I showed up, I was surprised they invited me to preach because the way it looked. I said, oh, man, I've landed on the wrong planet. And they decided the last night they weren't going to let me preach. They were sick of me preaching, and I was sick of them too. And so it worked out perfect. But it was just chaos. And one of the men there, I've known him all my life. He looked at me. He said, "You see that girl right there shouting and praying with those people?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "She broke up 5 families."
Wow.
I'm like, "But she's standing up here shouting and praying with people?" You hear me? God's not jumping into that.
Right.
And Paul said, we've got to get things in order because we want God to move.
Yeah.
We want God to speak. We want God to manifest himself. We want God to use us, but it's like I always tell them, God did use Balaam's donkey, but they didn't go and enroll him in the school of the prophets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and so we got to get things in order so that God can help us and God can work in us.
Right.
And God can move among us.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
If we want God to help us, we need to do it the way the Bible says to do it. And so while Paul is teaching them, he does rebuke them. And told him, this isn't a work of the Spirit. This is a work of the flesh.
Uh-huh.
This is a work of the flesh. It's all it is. Unrestrained flesh, exalting itself. Robbing the house of God of the power of God. And the voice of God.
Right.
Amen. I've been some places where they tried to shout the preacher down every service.
Yes.
I was at a youth camp one time. I went to hear the man preach. I knew him and got there. They were trying to shout him down. And a bunch of the preachers started lifting their Bibles up, shaking their Bibles. Said, "No, you get up there and preach. Them kids can shut up." Well, the kids had figured it out. We shout for about 30 minutes, and then we can go outside. We can go have a hot dog and some popcorn. Try to sneak off with their girlfriend. Why we worship matters.
Amen.
The objective of our worship matters.
Yes.
And so Paul just rebukes them. And this is not the glory of God. We're robbing the house of God of the glory of God. And so the Apostle Paul makes some statements in his writings. This is what I'll try to focus on here tonight. About sounds. And the significance of sounds. And the importance of there being a distinction in the sounds. In other words, you've got to be able to tell what the sound is conveying. Right? How many of you play an instrument? All right. I used to. I don't anymore. But I was in orchestra, and I played the trumpet and the baritone. I started playing the baritone because I found I didn't have to carry it to school. They had it at the school, and I just had to have my own mouthpiece. So I became a baritone player. And if you can, the baritone's played in a bass clef, but you can transpose it in the treble clef, and it plays exactly like a trumpet does. So it was easy for me. And so, I don't have to carry a trumpet to school anymore like a nerd. I can just show up to band class and pull my mouthpiece out of the pocket. And, you know, when you're in junior high school, stuff matters.
Yeah.
Now, so I could tell my church last night, the older you get, the less you care.
Less you care.
Less you care. That's my grandfather. He lived to 100. He used to say, I told him this next. He said, what would I care? I'm 90 years old. And then it was, I'm 95 years old. What do I care? No peer pressure. He said, the good thing he found out is the doctor told him when he hit 100, he said, very few people die after they reach 100. Most of them don't get there. Paul says there's got to be a certain sound. A certain sound. In band, we'd all get in, they call it warming up.
Yes.
Everybody just, it's just chaos and confusion. But everybody, when they set the music in front of you, everybody had a part.
Yeah. Right.
If somebody was playing the music like they're supposed to and didn't think they were Ray Charles or something, you could tell what the song was because it conveyed the melody of the song. You could pick up the words and follow along. You didn't have the words in front of you. If you knew the song and you heard the music, it all fit together.
Yes.
There had to be a certain sound heard. Or who's going to know what's going on? What are we supposed to do? You don't lead like a schizophrenic. We're going to run over and do this. We're going to run over and do that. We're going to change the program this way. It's just steady. Say, well, why don't we do nothing? Because this is working. Because new stuff isn't always good things. Amen. Amen. There's got to be a distinction in the sounds.
Yes.
And so I want to talk to us tonight.
Go ahead.
When there's about what we hear and then what we don't hear, but it's there. It's there. And what we hear is the words, but what we don't hear is the influence. And too many people feel like I've got it on the ball and I can sort it out. I've heard this so many times. We'll just eat the chicken, spit out the bones. Well, you're going to choke on a chicken bone one day.
One day, yeah.
One day you're going to choke on one of them chicken bones. And so I don't just eat the chicken and spit out the bones. I'm only going where they got some good chicken. Certain sound. I'll talk to you about the importance of what we're hearing, and I'm just here for a few days, but you have a pastor that prays for you, right? And he cares for your soul. He watches for your soul, and so you need to really pay a lot of attention to what he says. I'll be gone. And my voice is just here for a little while. But I want you to understand how much the voice of the man of God has got to ring in our hearts. And if you're only listening to one ear, you're going to miss a lot. If your mind's off in la-la land, I got them. I don't teach adult Sunday school because I don't have the patience for it. Folks in the church now, but I caught the wink and blink and nod class. I got a lot of the foolish virgins in my church. They don't just slumber, they sleep. And you miss the message.
Yeah.
You miss the message. If we're not careful, if we're not really listening closely, what we're hearing might sound like the right thing, but when in reality, it's the wrong thing.
All right.
Even back in the 90s, I made a trip to a camp meeting, and the man that preached, I respect him. I've heard him preach some tremendous messages that I gleaned from. But this particular night, he started off, and he was preaching about the Apostle Peter and the Lord letting down the sheet, and just talking about sometimes we just don't get it the first time, and God has to let it down. And it sounded good until he started talking about the things that we're not getting, and it wasn't things I wanted to get. He might as well have been talking about COVID or German measles or cancer. I don't want to get any of that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get any of the stuff he said we weren't getting. And he said the reason we don't get it is because we're stuck in our old ways.
Well,
Apostle Peter was stuck in his old tradition, so he couldn't get it. Well, in context, I don't have a problem with that, but in the agenda that was set forth, it was very disappointing to me. We not got to hear what's being said. We got to think about what's being said.
Yeah.
Because if you listen casually, man, that sounds good. You know, the bad thing about playing an instrument is you hear stuff that's off.
Oh, yes.
Most of my sound men couldn't play a kazoo. And they don't have a ear for music at all. They don't know anything about things blending. And I've told my, I wish all our musicians had to play in the orchestra to learn. You got a part.
Yeah.
And if everybody thinks it's their show off time and everybody's all over, you know, it sounds like a circus.
Amen. Yeah.
And so it's no different at church. We got a part here, and we've got to do our part. We've got to let our voice be clear. But when it comes to the Word of God, all right, what time y'all go home? I just don't want to be here real long by myself. Let's get back in 1 Corinthians 14 here, and we'll try to expedite this. He said, now, verse 6, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And so he talked about tongues when a tongue is a language or a dialect that a personal people have, that a group has that's distinct from that of other nations. We have a work in Mexico, and I saw my friends, why don't you learn Spanish? I thought, well, number one, I've tried. Number two, most of them don't speak Spanish good. All the older people, I said, some of them older ones, I speak Spanish as good as they do. My Spanish is horrible because they have a dialect.
Sure.
And it's you think Spanish is hard. You try to speak Sotil. I can't make heads or tails of it. But I got a young guy down there. He can translate Spanish and translate Sotil and blah. When he starts talking to them in Sotil, I have no idea what he's saying. I hope he's saying the right stuff. And so he said there's a distinct language. And he said, you're not profited by me unless I speak in a language that you understand.
Yeah.
How many can speak Spanish tonight? My wife can. You speak, say, habla español, huh? Bueno. Well, that's about as good as I can do. Unless I get stuck in a taxi in Mexico, then I'm fluent. It's just amazing what I... Ella, stop. No, I really don't know. And so he said, it doesn't matter that there's just noise. What matters is there's something that we can discern and understand.
Yeah.
Verse 7, he said, even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction to sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or what is harped? And I've heard some people playing the instrument. I couldn't tell you what they were playing. Because they thought they were Barry Manilow and Ray Charles and a couple other people all rolled up in one. But if somebody was playing the music, it was easy for me. He said, so even if it's a harp, if it's a pipe, if it doesn't give a distinction, if they're not hitting the right notes, how will everybody know what's being piped or harp?
Yeah. Yeah.
So every instrument has to carry a tune.
Sure.
It has to carry a tune. It's got to hit a distinct musical note, or you'll not know what is being played. Right? I can hear stuff played on the guitar, and if it's played halfway decent, I can figure out what they're playing. But some, it just sounds like they're having an epileptic seizure, and their finger got caught in the string or something. And, he said, it's more important that they know what you're saying. And they don't just hear noise. They don't just hear noise. Now, I'm not very theatrical, okay? But I started noticing this, that, and I don't have a problem. I may jump off the pulpit tomorrow. I don't know. I do get out. I'm not mummified. But I told my church, you be careful that you're not reacting to what the preacher's doing.
Come on now.
Rather than reacting to what he's saying.
Yeah, that's good.
Because I started seeing some men, they weren't saying a whole lot, but they'd stomp the devil and they'd twirl and jump and everybody'd be like, whoa, whoa. I said, we didn't say anything.
Yeah, that's common.
Long time ago, 30-something years ago, when I didn't know any better, I let somebody send me an evangelist, and he was telling them they need to jump, they need to shout, they need to do that. He turned and looked at me, he said, they're not doing nothing. I said, you're not saying anything. I said, you say something, they'll get with you. But we're not playing Simon Says at our church.
Right.
And so sometimes we are visual. And too often we get caught up in what we see happening. We're not really listening. And I'm fine with demonstrative preaching if there's preaching going on. If the word of God's going forth. But I've just seen people that replace content with theatrics. And they can work the church up. But when it's all over, the church don't have anything to go home. And say, man, I got fed tonight. I got fed tonight. Amen. That's what Jesus told the apostle. He said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. If you feed them right, they'll worship. If you'll feed them right, they'll dance when it's time to dance. You feed them right, they'll run the aisles when it's time to run the aisles.
Yes.
But if we're just trying to instruct them on how to worship, it'll never be real.
Amen.
Well, without a tune of distinct notes, it's not really music. It's noise. If you brought me a trumpet or baritone, I could make it make noise tonight, but I can't remember hardly anything about playing it. You put music in front of me, I can read the notes, but I don't remember the finger positions anymore. That's been a while. It's about 50 years. You forget a lot in 50 years. If you're smart, you forget a lot in 50 years. And so there's got to be some distinct notes, he said. What are you saying? What's he talking about? I'm not talking about challenging the preacher. I'm talking about tuning into what he's saying. And getting the message. Now, in Revelations to the church, he said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit. And so preaching is more than the words that come out of the man's mouth. There's got to be some revelation. There's got to be some connection with what's... We think revelation is like way out in the clouds and all that, but it's just understanding what's being said. It's enlightenment.
Yes.
There's no new revelation. It's all there. We just find it all of a sudden. We stumble upon it. Like, whoa! Been there for thousands of years. We just saw it for the first time. And so if we're not really paying attention to the preacher, if we're not even hearing what the preacher's saying, we're not going to hear what the Spirit says.
Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer that we need to hear more than what the preacher. I'm doing my best, but the Spirit can do more than me.
Amen.
If you get the spirit of what's being said.
Yeah.
We want to have church. We want to have good church, but we don't want to have crazy church.
Amen.
Sure. Amen. And so if what's being played cannot be understood, it doesn't add anything to the hearer. It doesn't profit them any. And so an instrument that's being played and doesn't give a clear and intelligible sound, it's of no profit to those that hear it. It's that warm-up time in the band room when everybody's just kind of getting ready to really play the song. And some churches never get past warm-up.
Right. Yeah.
Some people never get past the warm-up. Because it's about getting in the Spirit. It's about following the Holy Ghost. But there's people that want to follow the Holy Ghost but don't want to follow their pastor. You've missed something in this process. There's a couple of gears missing in your transmission. I'm going to obey the Holy Ghost. You won't even obey your pastor who you can see. And if you're saying you're obeying the Holy Ghost and disobeying your pastor, you don't believe in God's methods and God's plan.
Sure.
All right. I got to hurry. If the trumpet give an uncertain sound. We know, I was at Brother Westberg's funeral, and they were supposed to play taps, and it was a recording. And somebody got the wrong tape in there, and they played Revelry. It started going, and those people were just embarrassed. We thought, oh, that's just right for Brother Westberg.
Yeah.
We may have thrown him in the ground, but that's right for Brother Westberg. That it was ironic. But the horn, the trumpet, the bugle's been used for centuries to send a message to the warriors. And he said, if it's not sending a clear message, they don't know if it's retreat time.
Right.
They don't know if it's charge time. They don't know if it's lunchtime. Some of them think it's always lunchtime. They said it was probably allusion to Moses and using the trumpet to call the sacred assembly together. They didn't, you know, they didn't have Instagram or texting. I don't like texting a whole lot, and I hate Instagram. I've never been on it, so I can't tell you. But I there's enough foolishness in my life without that stuff. It's like I told my church, we don't do dramas because y'all got enough drama already. I got enough drama just pastoring you. I don't need any created drama. And so they would use the trumpet to send a message out to the camp.
Yes, yes.
And he said, if it doesn't give a distinction in the sounds, there's going to be confusion in the camp. And so there's two things here. You got to learn what the sound of the trumpet means. You sitting out there got to be able to discern what the trumpet's saying. Now, I always tell my folks, if you leave church and don't know what I was saying, you weren't listening. Because I make it pretty plain. I'm being nice. I'm on my good behavior tonight. I haven't said idiot, stupid, or jerk all night, I think. And so you got to be tuned in to the trumpet. Got to be tuned in to what the voice of your pastor is saying. And if you're off in la la land, you're not going to know what you're supposed to do. If you hadn't been paying attention to distinguish the sound, you know, you can only make so many sounds with the bugle with no way to change. It's just all from voice and pressure. And the tightness of your lips, that's what changed. On a bugle, there's not a whole lot you can do. And so it wasn't real fancy.
Yeah.
And so you had to understand what it meant. And you had to pay attention to the trumpet to know what you were supposed to do.
That's right.
It's time to journey. It's time to move camp. It's time to come to the house of God. It just sounded the trumpet. Amen.
Yeah.
And so Paul talks about this trumpet it's got to, if it gives an uncertain sound, we're not going to, what was it? What did he say? I try to keep, we do calendars. We do announcements up on the wall like that. And we used to do a bulletin every month. And I quit doing the bulletin, or every week. Every week they get a bulletin. That's what we're doing this week. And I still have people call my house. Hey, is there prayer for tonight? Huh? Is it on the calendar? Is it in the bulletin? Did we project? You know why? Because they're not paying attention. They say if people see something and hear it, they're more likely to remember it. And if they write it down, they're much more likely to remember it. But they ain't seeing it and they ain't hearing. Well, I didn't know we had prayer. Why? We have it every Friday night. They projected on the wall at the end of the service, and I said, don't miss prayer. Be faithful to prayer. Oh, we have a prayer. You haven't been paying attention.
Yeah.
People much later discover something. Well, I didn't know. I didn't. You weren't listening. You got to pay attention to what's being said. Well, I didn't know we weren't allowed to do that. Well, then you hadn't been listening.
Sure.
You haven't been listening. It popped up on my phone today because it's the first. Every 3 months, it's on the calendar. Start reading the book of Acts again. I don't care what you read, but every 3 months, I want you to go back and read the book of Acts again. I want to get it in your brain. All I want right. to get it in your brain. And so it popped on my calendar. I thought, most of them, it's going to be on the printed calendar. Get in, and they're going to, oh, look, we got a play day. We got recreation on Saturday the 18th, you know. But what about reading the book of Acts? A lot of it has to do with what you're interested in.
Sure. Yeah.
People hear what they want to hear. Yeah. Amen. And so, for the children of Israel, their unity in everything they did was dependent on the clear sound of the trumpet and their response to the trumpet, understanding what message the trumpet was sending to them. A lot of sounds, a lot of noises. But he said they can't give an uncertain sound, an indistinguishable sound, one that leaves a question in people's mind. One writer said it was to leave them without inner perception, that they heard a noise, but nothing registered in here or up here. Now, a lot of people hear me talking, but not a word's registered in their brain. That receipt that's printing out your mouth is empty. It's blank. And it's just not. That's all some people hear. I know he said something about a trumpet. You know how I got people that their only job is when I give my message to them to put it up on the wall. And they get it wrong sometimes. And I say, tonight I'm going to preach about Bob the Tiger. Okay. Bill the Billy Goat. Where'd that come from? I didn't say anything about Bill or a Billy Goat. Yeah, that's what they heard. They knew what they were. Hey, pastor's preaching to me again. That sound, he said, if it's not manifest, it's not distinct, it's not clear, nobody's going to know what to do.
Yeah.
Got to be plain. Plain. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:13, he said, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ.
Yeah.
Sound doctrine. Sound. And it spoke of Christians whose beliefs or opinions were free from any admixture of error. My doctrine's not mixed with something I picked up on the street or I heard. You know, there's a lot of things that are believed because they heard somebody say it and they never checked if it was in the Bible.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, when I was a kid, my Sunday school teachers had me confused because they tried to make the Bible story interesting. They lied. It didn't happen anything like they said it did.
Wow.
They're trying to make it interesting. And they misrepresented what it said. Why didn't Cain didn't shoot Abel? He didn't even have a gun. I thought, man, I had some dingbat Sunday school teachers. Luckily, I went to Bible college, so I get the story right.
Yeah.
Embellishing.
Yeah.
To try and make it interesting. Because there's an absence of hunger. He said, we need sound words. Sound words. I get people come to my church, they get bored because all I do is preach out of the Bible. I have my younger brother goes to church. A lot of times they show a clip from a TV program and they teach a moral from the TV program. They don't use the Bible or scripture. That's not a good sound. And so he said, if it gives them a certain sound, who's going to prepare themselves to battle? How are we going to know what we're supposed to do? Who's going to know how to act? Your pastor is going to give a clear sound. And you need to get tuned in to his voice. Now, I know I'm not everybody in my church's favorite preacher. Okay? I'm not stupid enough to think they all think I'm not their favorite. I'm not all of them's favorite. But your pastor should be your favorite preacher. He should be your favorite. Well, he needs to preach more. Well, he can preach tomorrow night. That's fine with me. You need to listen more. I tell my folks, every once in a while we have one of the services where there's no preaching. I said, don't worry. I'll make up for it on Tuesday night Bible study. We'll catch up. You're not going to be shorted around here. And so Paul was talking about these vague, unintelligible sounds. We're not getting anywhere. We're not accomplishing anything. Nobody knows what's going on. It's just bringing confusion to the people of God, to the church. And we need to know what we're supposed to do. And if the trumpet's giving a certain sound and we're not getting it, it's because we're not paying enough attention. Even verse 9, I'm going to just jump through this. So likewise, ye except ye utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how shall it be known what is spoken? He said, for you shall speak into the... If nobody understands what you're saying, you might as well be standing out in the field screaming with nobody around because you're accomplishing just as much.
Yeah.
The speech has got to be understood. It needs to be simple. It needs to be plain. When I was in Bible college, a young man, he was very intelligent, and you could tell he thought he was at least. And he got up and he preached about Martin Luther. How simply he was, and he preached, and I couldn't understand half the words the guy used. He stayed up night finding words in the dictionary. And while he was talking about how Martin Luther was effective because of his simplicity, he went off in la-la land. I mean, we didn't have computers back then, you know. You'd have to carry the Cambridge Dictionary. Let me look up that word. What's he saying? And so we don't need preachers to preach and use words we don't know. Wow, he sounds smart. Well, he's not smart enough to know you didn't understand him. We need to hear the word of God.
Yes.
Now, verse 10, let me wind it up here. Not that I'm near done, but I'm going to wind it up because it's 9 o'clock. He said, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. There's a great quantity and a great diversity of voices. You can take your phone now. I don't Spotify, Pandora, whatever else. I just know the names. I don't use them. I don't listen to music. I'm not going to say I hate music, but I'm not going to die if I never hear anymore. I come to church. I want to hear music, to worship. And sometimes folks listen to preaching at home, and they're washing the dishes, and you're, at least your husband hopes you are, and vacuuming. And it's just noise in the background.
Yeah.
And I said, it's counterproductive. Because you get used to preaching just being background noise.
Well,
and you come to church and it's just background noise.
Exactly.
Been listening to it all day. You ain't been paying attention to it at home. You don't pay attention when you come to church. He said, there's a lot of voices. And that the word voices speaks of sound or tone. Or uttered words, or the speech of a language. He said, so there's just a lot of sounds out there. Yeah. Back in the mid-90s, I had a boy came to visit our church. He was graduating Bible college, and he was thinking about coming down there and spending some time with us. And he was from Philadelphia, Mississippi, and he flew into Miami National Airport. And he had the deer in the headlights look when I finally got there to pick him up. I was running a little bit late and got to. He said, I thought I'd landed in a different country. I didn't hear anybody speaking English.
That's what I thought.
I said, welcome to South America. I joke about people think I'm joking. We only got about 20 white folks in our church. And almost half of it's my family. Me and my wife, my son, and he's got 4 kids. Got another one on the way. We're trying to boost the white population. In fact, they're the only married couple in our church that are both white Americans right now. And we got no head. One had to go get one from Michigan to find a white girl to marry. Yeah. Because we got everything else. We got Dominican Republicans, and we got Haitians, and we got Cubans, and we got Puerto Ricans, we got this and this and that. And if everybody starts speaking their own language, Puerto Ricans even talk different than Cubans. It's Spanish, but it ain't the same. And Mexicans, they speak Spanish, but it's not the same. I found out some of the words I learned in Hialeah from the Cubans, you don't say them around Mexicans. And they're not in cuss words, it's just in their culture. In their culture. And so there's just a lot of noise, folks. There's availability to a lot of voices. And I, you know, you can go on the internet, there's apps, there's ways on your phone to listen to preaching 24/7. Now, as a pastor, I don't allow it. I cut it off several years ago. I said, no more. You don't know who that guy is. You don't really know anything about him. And he's not the voice of God for you. He said, well, you think you are? Well, yeah, I do. God called me. I obeyed the call of God. I went there. I'm the voice of God to my church. To my congregation. I'm the voice of God. And thank God. Your pastor preached for me. Man, it's been a long time since you and Elder Moody were there.
Yeah.
I know he's calling this a week of the word. When Brother Moody gets here, it'll be a week of the spirit. I told my church, if I can get him to next time there, I'm going to get him to preach passing the gates of heaven on your way to hell. Because some of my folks need to hear it. Because they're there. And so there's, and this is what I got to talk to us about. There's so many voices out there.
Yes.
But that's not the ones going to come pray for you when you're sick.
Yeah.
That's not the one that's going to put their arm around you when your heart is breaking. Even that's not the one whose heart groans for you and that your soul would be saved. I want to be careful. I don't want to be If we're not careful, we create superhero preachers.
Yeah.
Ooh. You know what I found out? Some of the best preachers I've ever heard couldn't build a church.
That's true.
They were talented preachers. They were good. They're good preachers. I'm not taking that away from them. But some people go, oh, why didn't so-and-so come? I can't say who it is, but I had a man in my church one time. He said, Pastor, why don't you have so-and-so come preach for us? I said, because I can have whoever I want. And that's not somebody I want. But he was a Pentecostal icon. But he didn't represent what I believe. He didn't represent what I was trying to build. And so I took a long time to get here, didn't I? I said, why don't you just start here and we'd have been out here at 8:05. We were being bombarded with voices.
Yes.
Used to be tapes, and then it was CDs, and now it's flash drives, and now it's you can just jump on somebody's website and listen to their preaching. And they didn't pray and seek God for you, for this congregation. I'm just trying to, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. You just listen to me. Some people just like to run around blowing a trumpet. That is their hobby, blowing the trumpet. I have a friend, Brother Garza, out in California. His hobby is reading books. He buys old collectors. He sent me a book I used for a thesis paper in Bible college, and he found it, the Two Babylons. And he sent it to me, and he used to call me, so what are you reading, Brother Johns? I'm like, you know, Brother Garza, this isn't fair. You're like the book of the week. I said, that's your hobby. My hobby's hunting and fishing.
Amen.
Readings work.
Yeah.
I don't get just go sit in a lazy boy and get lost in a book for hours and hours. Now I'll sit in a deer stand for hours and hours. But there's one man that God has put here now. Right? Your pastor for years sought God. I always tell my folks, you know, if you don't trust me, you need to go somewhere else. Because you're not going to make it here. Sooner or later, you get mad at me. You already are. So you might as well go. But you hear me. Mr. Tate Preacher didn't have your face in his mind when he was praying, God, I got to feed your people tonight. God, I got to help. They're going through stuff. You got to give me something to help them, God.
Yeah.
You hear me? There's some men been polishing up them sermons. Not all of them, but I'm just telling them there's some. They are dynamic orators.
Amen.
One of the greatest preachers in Pentecost I've known since I was a boy. I'm talking about most phenomenal preacher. Phenomenal preacher. But I'm being honest, I don't want to hear him preach. Because he doesn't hold what he says he does. And I have tremendous respect for him. He's been kind to me. But time has proven some things. When I was a boy, youth camp, I was 15 years old. A guy named by the name of Mark Hamby preached. He was a phenomenal. I can remember today about Hosea's children. and don't kill my pigs. I can remember those messages. He was a phenomenal preacher.
Yes.
But he lost out with God. And I would not listen. I wouldn't listen to a tape he preached back then. Because that's not a voice I want in my life. If I'm being too plain, I'm sorry.
No.
I'm just being honest. I prayed tonight. I just had God. You know what? I got a church at home. I can preach every time I want. And I'm not here to impress. I'm here to try to help somebody.
Yes.
All I want to do is help people. Amen. And you're going to get so confused because you've got all these voices coming in your head. And they're contradictory to what you're hearing over the pulpit where you go to church. And you're going to be lost because of chaos and the confusion that's going to come. Because you're hearing all kind of voices. All kind of voices. You need to be careful of what voices you listen to. I'm going to read a few scriptures and I'll quit. 1 Corinthians 4:15, the Apostle Paul to the same bunch of people we've been talking about. For though we have, or though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers? So there's a lot of teachers out there, but you only got one daddy. He said, for in Christ Jesus, I've begotten you through the gospel. Begotten you through the gospel. Now, this is my opinion. This is my opinion. I'm a pastor. And if I'm, and I don't pastor everybody that goes to my church. You know, some people, they just go to the church I pastor. And there's some people I pastor. They want to listen. They want to get advice. They want to be prayed. That's what I tell them. God's not going to talk to you through me if you don't listen to me. If you don't get the program. And so this is what I don't want my folks to listen to anybody I wouldn't put behind the pulpit.
Amen.
In the church I pastor.
Amen.
I don't say, hey, what about something? Not right now. I don't want to run preachers down.
Right.
I just tell them, you know what? There's a lot going on right now. You hear me? There's a lot going on right now. And we need to walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Now, I promise you that tape preacher ain't going to admonish anybody. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. 2 Timothy 3:10. He said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. You've seen me go through it. You've seen me go through it. You know what I'm all about. 2 Timothy 3:14. He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You can stand. There's a lot of voices. The Apostle Paul said, you can stand up if that's what y'all do. That makes me quit. Okay. It makes you feel better about it, at least. I've had people stand and some sat down before I got finished. I became famous. I'm just through my introduction, 45 minutes into the message. I have a long introduction, and the message is real short. He said, there are so many voices. But I want you to understand, he said, none of them are without signification. Every one of them has an effect and has an influence. Oh, no, I'm not paying. Yeah, you are. Or you wouldn't listen to it. Oh, it doesn't affect. Then why are you listening to it? He said, every one of those voices have an influence. They affect you. None of them are without signification. Better be careful what you listen to. Better be careful who you put your trust in. Amen. There's just too many voices out there. Too many voices. And you listen to the voice of deception long enough and you will be deceived. No matter how wise you are, how smart you are, no matter how long you've been in the church, you start listening to the voice of deception and it'll get you. It'll get you. Can we lift our hands and ask the Lord to help us as your pastor comes?